On this episode of The Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Joni Courtney, CMO of EmployBridge and president of the professional staffing division. Joni shares the three things her parents did that helped lead to her success and who she is today, her insights on diversity and inclusion in the workforce, her career-defining moment, and so much more. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and I would like to welcome Joni Courtney, CMO of EmployBridge and president of the professional staffing division, to our podcast, The Edge. Joni, welcome.
Thanks, Leslie. Thrilled to be here today.
Let's talk first about your start in the industry, and you actually talk about you kind of falling into the industry by accident. You didn't know what you wanted to do, so you applied for an ad in the paper. And yes, you applied for an ad in a paper. And it was actually called Employment Counselor, which today is known as a recruiter. So fast forward 25 years later, and you're now in the C-suite of EmployBridge. And for those of you listening who don't know, last year, SIA ranked EmployBridge, the largest industrial staffing firm with over $3.1 billion in revenue with multiple brands under your umbrella. So Joni, let's get back to this whole falling into the staffing industry by accident and how that has led to really you wearing two hats, a CMO and the other a president.
Well, I do get this question, you know, quite a few times, and I laugh when I say that it was by accident, because probably nothing really is an accident. You know, I probably was meant to be in this industry, but I never knew about the industry. I never knew about staffing or recruiting. You know, I had completed my bachelor's of science in human services, and the truth was that I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But I knew at my core that I wanted to be in a profession where I could help people, and I could help people with improving their lives. And so, you know, that was really at my foundation. I didn't know a thing about staffing or recruiting, but when I saw the term counselor, and it said employment counselor, you know, that was appealing to me. I thought, oh, I could help people with finding jobs. Little did I know that I would be starting this incredible career in the staffing and recruiting industry. And, you know, I just have been so fortunate and so blessed to have had the opportunities to even work in this industry. You know, I really do believe that it's a rewarding industry. The work, you know, that we do really matters and makes a difference in people's lives. It also makes a difference in our customers' lives with, you know, the products that they're manufacturing or the services they're providing. So it has just been so rewarding. So I guess when I think back, you know, it was kind of by accident. I don't know, probably meant to be.
I would argue it was definitely meant to be. Now that I've gotten to know you in the industry and know what a people person you really are, and that's at the core of what our industry is really all about. One of the things that we were talking about as well in prep for this and getting to know you was that we have something in common, in that I talk a lot about it taking generations to make change as it relates to diversity. And you attribute a lot of your success to your parents and the foundation they created for you. You mentioned specifically, Joni, that they did three things for you and your three sisters, so four girls in the family. First and foremost, they gave you unconditional love. And really, while that may feel like something obvious, we can never, ever underestimate the importance of feeling loved. So that unconditional love that they gave you no matter what. Second, they gave you and your sisters confidence. I love to call confidence the best gift, one of the best gifts we can give our children. You even mentioned that they helped you believe you could be anything you set your mind to, even the president. of which you are now of one of the divisions of Enslavered. So they were onto something there for you, Joni. And then third, they strongly pushed for education, so much so that not going to college, it wasn't really an option. So unconditional love, the gift of confidence, and strongly pushing for education. Perhaps share how their values carried into your career and as a mom of two children of your own.
You know, I talk about my parents a lot, and at least three things that I feel that they really gave me to help me be who I am today. And, you know, first of all, I have to say, you know, I hit the jackpot with my parents and my three sisters and even my kids. Like, I feel so lucky. And I think, and hopefully, you know, many people feel that way, you know, with their families. But I was just very blessed to have two parents that were so supportive and were so loving to me and to my sisters. But they also were very hardworking. You know, my father was an electrician. He had started his career as an apprentice. My mother was a nurse, and then later in life, she went back and completed her bachelor's and her master's with a 4.0 all the way through. And, you know, what both of them instilled in me was also this work ethic and to dream big and, you know, to set your sights on goals or things that were really important to you that you wanted to achieve, and that hard work and a strong work ethic, you know, could really pay off. And so, you know, I feel so fortunate to have had that upbringing. It definitely has made me who I am today. And, you know, most of all, when I look back at it, I think the confidence piece was so key. And I agree with you, Leslie, that it is kind of the best gift, you know, that we can give our children. I know I try to do it with my children every day, you know, not only that they feel loved and supported, but that they do have the confidence to achieve their goals. And, you know, the other thing that goes with that, though, it's not just that you can do it or that you're entitled, you know, to something, but it's that you're going to work really hard and put in the time and the effort that's required in order to achieve things. So it was just such a great foundation. And I laugh at some things looking back, because my mother really made me feel like, you know, if I wanted to be president of the United States, I could. And that was just the way we grew up. And maybe it was that dynamic of four girls. And even though I always wanted a brother, we didn't have that dynamic in my family. And even my father's brother had three girls. So when we would go over my grandfather's house, there would be, you know, seven girls. And we just grew up with, you know, kind of my grandfather singing, "Thank Heaven for Little Girls." But there's something to be said for that, you know, that we just were really given a tremendous amount of love and support, and to be made that we were really special and that we could do anything that we wanted to set our minds to. So it was the greatest gift.
I love the gift that your parents gave you, and I also appreciate that you keep spreading that throughout our industry as well. So thank you for that. With that, I want to switch gears for a second on the topic of diversity, inclusion, and acceptance. Obviously, this is a podcast for executive women in recruitment as our guests, but we have listeners who are very diverse. And, you know, I co-founded a group called ARA, which stands for Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. We have around 6,000 people as part of our program across the U.S. And in our latest survey of nearly 600 men and women, it was found that a third of the women, 33%, cite a negative environment as a deciding factor in leaving their last job, compared to 23% of men. Additionally, 23% of women moved on in part due to unfair treatment. And then the percentage goes down quite a bit compared to 13% of men. And it's really disheartening when you think about that, like negative environment, unfair treatment. And I remember over the years, Joni, you know, many women ignored uncomfortable work environments and left companies without saying anything in fear of being seen as a whistleblower. And today, times are definitely changing, and it's fully expected and encouraged to have more see it, say it moments or radical candor, as we like to talk about. That said, not everyone has back to confidence. Not everyone has the confidence to do or say anything. So perhaps leaning on your own experiences, please share an example, even if at the time maybe you didn't feel very confident, where you rose above a situation and made something happen, not only for yourself, but the women around you.
Yeah, that's a great question, Leslie. And we probably could write a book in asking tons of women in the staffing industry for examples on this, because I'm sure we've all had times in our career where maybe, you know, we didn't feel as confident in a situation. And I think it's normal, you know, for us to doubt ourselves. Maybe we're in a role where we might doubt, like, am I in over my head, or have I taken on too much, or question our, you know, our abilities. And there's definitely been moments in my career where, you know, I can remember probably earlier in my career where I was working in environments that were very male dominated. And even one of the companies that I worked for early in my career probably had about 90% men in sales and recruiting. And of course, this is going back a ways. But, you know, I did feel at the time, not so much that I was discriminated against, but it did make me feel that, you know, wow, they really value men more than they value women at this organization. But the difference of what I'm saying, how I didn't feel discriminated, was I actually didn't take it personally. At the time, I just felt like, okay, this is the culture. You know, it was a boys' club. And I almost looked at it as a challenge, that I was going to prove myself that I can do anything that they can do. It may be even better, you know, and so there was definitely some challenges, you know, in working for that environment. And I think what happened for me was I did realize that at that time I was so ambitious and I wanted to climb the corporate ladder. I was willing to put in the work and make it happen. But I also recognized that I probably was not going to be able to achieve what I wanted to achieve at that organization. And so, you know, looking back at it, you know, it wasn't a situation where I felt like I had to blow a whistle or make a big deal about something. And maybe some people would handle it differently, but I just chose to make a different decision and say, you know what, I own my career. I own my destiny. If I don't feel like I'm going to be able to achieve what I want to achieve here, then I'm going to find a place that's going to be that right environment for me. And so I made the change. Now, I'll also add to that I stayed in touch with people at that company and had great relationships. And as I achieved greater success, you know, I was happy to go back and say, yeah, look what I'm doing now. And I kind of felt like, in a way, yeah, they missed out, you know, in that. But I'm happy to say their environment today is much more balanced. You know, I think it was kind of a sign of the times. And, you know, even looking back, you know, 20 years or so, a lot of change has occurred. But I believe that we still have a long way to go with equality, you know, in the workplace. And, you know, there's many times I've been in a room presenting and, you know, am the only female, or, you know, with just a small handful of women. And my question was never, why am I in the room? But I would question, why are there not more women in the room? And I do think that that comes back to some confidence as well. So, you know, the one thing I would love to do is to really help young women and men too, you know, with just having more confidence in themselves and to pursue their dreams and to go after what they really want to do in life.
You know, we did, each of us in our own ways, walk away from certain situations or change jobs because of certain elements and the fact that we even have to have surveys that are tracking if you're in an uncomfortable or unwelcome environment is unfortunate, but hopefully through mentoring programs, through podcasts like this, through different organizations who are bringing it to a head, and more men being aware of the situation and wanting to make change, which is definitely something I'm seeing way, way more of, people working together on this, we will continue to see a change. And I do believe it has gotten better. It doesn't mean that we've overcome it, but it certainly has gotten a lot better. And I would also agree with you on the confidence piece. When we do this survey every year for women in technology, it's interesting. The number one piece of advice men have for women and women have for women is to be more confident. And somewhere in that belief, if you go back to your parents and how they instilled confidence in you and your sisters and how you do that with your two children, it's something gets stripped away at a very young age and is really hard to get back. So the more we can help those up-and-comers early in their career find that again or learn how to embrace what they have in confidence and use it to their benefit and advantage, the better. I have to stop myself because I could keep going on these topics. All right, let's talk about Joni Courtney, the leader. So taking a page out of your LinkedIn profile, of course, I had to go through and read what people had to say about you, and I could concur. It's all very true and authentic. Highlighting some of the recommendations people had to say to you, though, here are some of the words out of the recommendations. So Joni exudes positive energy and has the ability to inspire people. She was a key driver of my success at our company, and I would work for her again in a heartbeat. She is very focused on team building and developing her staff. She sets a great example for her team and has an innate way of always getting everyone on her team to want to follow her direction. Her professionalism and integrity are without question world class. There's a very common theme in your recommendations, Joni. They all mention how you inspire, lead, and create teams where people want to follow you. So with that, over the last 25 years, could you name one thing that stands out really as your most memorable career-defining moment?
Well, the one thing that always comes to mind for me as a moment in my career was probably when I was in my late 20s and I was a new area vice president. It's actually with part of the Employee Bridge family back in the day, though the name of the company at the time was Staffing Resources. And I was probably one of the youngest area vice presidents, and also, you know, being a female, a lot of, you know, there's a lot of women in the industry, but let's say there was, you know, 30 or so area VPs within the organization. And we had our national meeting, which was in Orlando, actually was at Disney World. And our CEO at the time, who's my boss today, Tom Bix, the CEO of Employee Bridge, but he got up and he said that they were going to be giving out awards and that, you know, they were basing the awards based on, you know, financial performance, but also on retention of employees. And, you know, they had a few different metrics that they looked at, you know, and of course, growth and improvement in revenue and gross margin and EBITDA for the company. So I remember being in the room and thinking, wow, you know, we've never done this before. This is, you know, pretty cool. And so he was recognizing the top like five people. And he got down, you know, to the number one position, and it was, you know, area vice president of the year. and he called out my name. And I didn't even know that I was up for the award, but I won. And it was something that really defined me for many reasons. Number one, I felt like I had just kept my head down and done my job, which I just love to do. And it spoke to the fact that when you do something you really love and you put yourself into it, and building a great team, you know, the rewards were there and we were super successful as an area. And it was so great. But I also was really proud because I was probably the youngest, and also being a female, you know, was just really proud that I won. But later that night, another gentleman that worked for the company, who was a little bit older, he came up to congratulate me. And he was sincere with his congratulations to me, you know, about winning the award. But he then was a little sarcastic and said, well, let's see you do it again next year. It would really mean something if you did it 2 years in a row. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, like, who are you to say something like that? But funny enough, it like created a fire within me that I was like, I will show you. I'm going to do it again. And, you know, proud to say that I did it again the next year. So to me, when I look back at that, that's definitely one of the most defining moments for me, you know, just that whole experience, and certainly something that I'm really, really proud of.
And as you should be. And someone once said to me, Joni, only you can take off your CEO hat and not to let other people around you try to do that. And it's so interesting when people make comments to you like that, where it's their own issues, their own lack of confidence or challenges
right.
that they may have in of themselves. And it really has nothing to do with you, yet you choose whether or not you allow someone to do that, you know, to you or make you feel that way. And one of the things I love, another kind of theme of what you're talking about is being your own career champion. You haven't let anyone tell you you can't do something. And again, this probably goes back to that second point that you're, you know, parents instilled in you and your mom, you know, that you could even be president of the United States, but being that own career champion for yourself and really putting yourself forward there and saying, I can do that and I can do, I'll do it again. And you did. So I love that about you. And I do believe when we think about people who could learn from you and have that confidence, just standing up for themselves and having that kind of will within themselves to be their own biggest champion is really important. Speaking of that, when you look back on your career, and you know, it's one thing to be your own champion, but it's also really nice to be surrounded by strong leaders and other mentors. Were there any mentors or leaders who helped shape you, who you are today? And how important do you believe the role of mentors are in someone's career?
There have been so many mentors and leaders that have shaped my career. So many, both male and female, you know, direct bosses or just, you know, people that I've looked up to. And, you know, what I've loved the most is the opportunity to get advice from them. And, you know, I really take that advice and keep it. And it's almost like, you know, picking the best flowers, you know, from each of them of what's worked for them, or any advice that they could give me, whether it was things around leadership, or maybe it was around balance and being a working mother and, you know, how do you juggle it all? They just have given me such great advice, and I would not be in the role that I am today or have achieved what I have achieved if I didn't have people that were helping me along the way. And there's a long list of them. So I really have been very fortunate to have some incredible support and mentorship around me. But to answer the second part of your question, I believe strongly in mentorship. And I also think it's a great way to give back. And whether it's a formal mentor program or an informal program of just coaching someone or giving advice or helping someone, you know, I come back to the first question you probably asked me, you know, about how I came into this industry. I just wanted to help other people and have an opportunity to improve other people's lives. And I really believe that. And it's not just about the staffing industry and the work that we do in the staffing industry with connecting, you know, talent to great companies. But even now, it's about leading people and connecting people in the industry. Or, you know, today at my company, at Employ Bridge, how can I help our, you know, internal colleagues advance in their career or become more successful in the roles that they're in? And providing that mentorship and coaching, whether it's a direct report line or indirect line, is something that I personally get a lot of satisfaction from.
So the advice is definitely find a mentor. And sometimes it can be informal and sometimes it can be formal, but do whatever you can to find people to help you. And I agree completely. You know, Joni, there was a time when you were a single parent to two children, plus you have a super busy schedule being a traveling executive and spokesperson at your company, all of these wonderful things you do, not only for business and your children, but your community and so forth. Do you happen to have anything when it comes to finding stride in your own life where you don't feel like you're giving up a piece of yourself and that your career and or family is suffering, where maybe you have three things that are your, I refuse to compromise on this, this is what I'm going to do, but perhaps you could quickly share with us some tidbits there of advice.
Well, it's always a challenge, you know, juggling. I kind of have this picture of a woman almost like in a circus, right, where she's on a tightrope and she's in between walking on this tightrope between home and on the other side is work. And meanwhile, she's juggling, right, like 50 different balls in the air as she's walking through this tightrope of just all the different things that you have to juggle, you know, especially as a working mom. And yes, I was a single mom, which added a completely different dynamic to it. So there are definitely some things that I guess are kind of like non-negotiables and some things I've learned along the way. You know, number one, my kids come first. And, you know, I am really clear about, okay, what are the big important events? Because I know I'm not going to be able to be at every single event. And my kids know that too. But there are certain things that are non-negotiable that I just won't miss. And, you know, even my company and my CEO, Tom Bix, kind of has that same philosophy as well, as you don't miss the important things because you're never going to have another chance to make those up. So, you know, even my kids' birthdays, you know, I've been so lucky to make sure that I have never missed a birthday, even due a meeting, but it's something I block on my calendar that, you know, my team or my assistant knows, you know, I cannot be out of town, you know, on their birthday. But, you know, that whether it's, you know, the school play or, you know, certain things that are just really important, really making time for them. And then, you know, the second thing that I think can be a little tougher sometimes for women is that it's okay to ask for help. And it might be, you know, getting help from, you know, family or friends, or, you know, later in my career, I was lucky enough that I could afford to hire someone to help me with things with the children. And I think not feeling guilty about that, because you, even though I've always wanted to be like, you know, this woman that can do it all, have a great career and a great family and be the mom, you know, that's up at the school for the events, you know, it's just a challenge. It, you know, it's back to juggling all those balls. So it is okay to ask for help. It's okay to outsource certain things, and don't beat yourself up, you know, up about it. And then the third thing I'll say, Leslie, that's just really helped me for many, many years is I am a big believer in goal setting and writing down my priorities. And I do it almost as like a ritual around New Year's Eve, you know, and kind of think about, okay, what did I accomplish this past year? And what do I really want to do moving forward? And I really try to make an effort to be very thoughtful around what are the things I want to accomplish in my life. And of course, it's focused around my kids and my family, and could be health or finance or fitness or my career. But it's something that kind of writing it down and then keeping it with me. I always have a copy of it in my wallet, and, you know, just kind of keeping it front and center to make sure that I am focused on the priorities of what are those things that are most important in my life. And that's just been a good practice for me.
You hold yourself accountable to what you want to achieve for yourself and don't compromise on that. And I love that. That's good advice. It's one thing to write it down and, you know, walk away from it and make it kind of an annual thing. It's another thing to hold it close to your heart and bring it with you everywhere you go. That makes a lot of sense. And as I approach my son's first field trip this week, he's only three, but he has a field trip. I'm like trying to balance going. So this was helpful for me hearing your answer. So thank you so much. All right, Joni, we're going to shift gears, and I don't want to rush through this last question because it's so important, and I know it's something you're really passionate about. You were on the team responsible for launching the Better Work Life Academy. It's an award-winning, industry-leading, free online training program that provides associates with a clear path to work advancement and better earning potential, and you're soon to launch a life skills studio as well. Could you briefly tell us about the program? Where could people find additional information about it? And then how it kind of tied into your own values and why you think it's such a game changer for our industry?
Sure. You know, the Better Work Life Academy is coming up on its 2-year anniversary, and all of us at EmployBridge are just so proud of this initiative. You know, our CEO, Tom Bix, and our Vice President of Associate Experience, Kathy Canfield, they really were the innovators and leaders on this program and launching it 2 years ago, along with another gentleman, Brian Devine, who works for the organization. But, you know, I think what they all saw was that we have an opportunity as a company and as an industry to help improve the skill set of the worker today. And when you take a look at our temporary workers, you know, many of them have not had access to, you know, education or skills-based training. And we felt we had an opportunity to do something different and really lead the industry. And, you know, some people might have thought, you know, we were crazy for doing this because it wasn't something that we were going to charge our customers for. We weren't going to charge the associates. This was something that we made an investment in as an organization because we wanted to upskill the workforce. And that's what this was all about. You know, you hear all about the skills gap. There's over 7 million open jobs. There's less than 6 million, you know, unemployed people. And we don't have the talent today to meet the demand. So it's, you know, that true supply and demand issue. There's a much stronger demand for skills and positions. And we don't have the talent that's able to meet the job requirements today. So this was a really important initiative for the company. We launched this in partnership with Penn Foster Online Education, and I'm proud to say we've had over 23,000 of our temporary associates sign up to take courses to improve their skill set. And we're, you know, I feel like we're just getting started, even though you can look at those numbers and go, wow, you know, over 23,000. It just speaks to the fact that people want access. They want training. They want the ability to learn new skills. And so it is something that we're super proud of. We're really excited to launch the Life Skills Studio, which is really kind of some of those great life skills around financial, communications. It's a whole nother set of classes that I really do believe will make a difference in people's lives. So, you know, look to hear more about that, but we're going to continue to evolve our Better Work Life Academy.
Excellent. Thank you, Joni. I look forward to reading more about it, and I know you'll have some announcements coming up, and just encourage people to read about it and see how they can get involved and participate as well in making a change. So in closing, Joni, one final question. What is the best piece of advice you have ever been given?
I would have to say there's so many things. It's hard to pick just one, you know, over the years. But two things I'll say is, number one is to find something that you're really passionate about. I think that's super important because if you have that desire and that interest, it's going to make it so much easier, right? To, you know, when you love what you do, to be good at what you do. But then the second thing is always strive to do your best. You know, you only have that one chance maybe to make a first impression, or that one chance to go in and give a presentation, or whatever it may be. And it could be something personal, something professional, but truly playing at the level where you're always doing your best and putting your best foot forward is certainly advice that I've been given and advice that I try to live by.
I love it. Thank you, Joni, so much. Let's say someone listening to the podcast would like to get in touch with you. What is the best way to reach you?
They can connect with me on LinkedIn or on Twitter at Joni Courtney.
Excellent. Joni, thank you so much for joining us on the Edge podcast.
Thanks for having me, Leslie.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.